Being seated, you can find your place in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, and we will be there momentarily. Ephesians chapter 5. And it seems as though we have kind of stumbled into another mini-series within a series, as we have been thinking about and studying on our theme for the year of being rooted and built up in Christ and being rooted and built up in the Lord. Two Sundays ago, we looked at the thought of, as Christians, how we need to be addicted to the ministry and how that will be the best addiction that we could ever have, and that is to be sold out for the ministry and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then last Sunday, we looked at the kind of church, the kind of ministry that as Christians we need to be addicted to, and that is that we need to be a local church believer. And now this morning, we're going to see the kind of people that God is looking for to enlist in His work, the kind of people that God wants to be addicted to His work, the kind of people that He wants to be addicted to His ministry. And we see over the last several weeks and into today that God calls His people to live distinct lives. He calls His people to live holy lives that will reflect Christ in order to impact the church and the world. And you know, a church is more than just stained glass. A church is more than just pews. A church is more than just a cross or a pulpit or a Lord's Supper table or a fellowship hall or whatever it is that makes up a particular church building. A church is much more than those things. It is a living, breathing body of believers. With each one, each believer, each Christian, each person that is present playing a part in that particular local church. Just like a symphony, just like a choir, needs every instrument, needs every person in tune. Just like an engine needs every part working properly, a church needs a certain kind of people to fulfill its mission. And the question we often ask, and we get asked this question quite often, when folks call, they're looking to visit, they're looking for a church in the area. And that is the question, well, what kind of church do you offer? What type of church do I want to be a part of? But today we're going to flip that question around. We're going to flip it on its side and we're going to ask the question, am I the kind of person that my church needs? And so you're there, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin there at verse number 1. Ephesians chapter number 5, beginning at verse number 1. And the Bible says this, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Here in Ephesians chapter 5, we have the walk of the believer as God's child. And for a few moments, that's the thought I want us to focus on, is simply this thought: God's blueprint for believers. God's blueprint for believers. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our service this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day, and thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house again on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. And Lord, this morning as we study your word, may you do just that. May you help us to be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. Lord, as we study your word, may we seek to be that which you'd have us to be. Lord, now I just pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you now and we need you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so we're here this morning. We find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 5. And the book of Ephesians is written to a church that finds itself in the middle of a pagan culture. The city of Ephesus, it was known for its temple to Diana. It was known for its immorality. It was known for its spiritual darkness. And in the previous chapters, up to this point, chapters 1 through 4, Paul reminded the believers at Ephesus of their position in Christ, that they have been saved by grace, seated in heavenly places. And now, so in the first four chapters, he's dealing with the theological aspect of salvation. And now, starting here in chapter 5, he now shifts his teaching to practical living. He now transfers and switches from that theology to, now how do we put that theology into practice? In other words, he's teaching here in chapter 5 and onward. Okay, he says, okay, now you know how you are saved, you know why you're saved, and now you are to know, because you are saved, here's how you should live. And in verses 1 through 10, he outlines for us the characteristics of the people that God uses in the church. And I want to give them to you very quickly this morning. Number one, people who imitate Christ. People who imitate Christ. Notice there again, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." That word there, in verse number 1, that word followers, literally means imitators. That's what that word means, imitators. And what Paul is saying here, he says, just very simply in layman's terms, okay, now that you have been saved, you have been saved to act like God. You have been saved to reflect his character. You think just how children, they naturally mimic their parents. Well, we as God's children ought to mirror our Heavenly Father. We ought to be a reflection of God the Father. And how do we do that? Well, verse number 2, and walk in love. And walk in love. So we are imitators of God when we are walking in love. A love, the type of love that this verse is talking about, is a sacrificial love. It's an unselfish love. It's a Christ-like love. It's not a love that says, well, I'll love you as long as I get something in return. That's not love. Love is, I love you no matter what. And that's how God loves us. Even though we're sinners, God loves us. And even after we get saved, even after we sometimes step out of bounds and step out of line and sometimes fall backwards, God still loves us. And that's the type of love we are to have. And we see here in verse number 2, it talks about how Christ gave himself as an offering. In other words, he laid down his rights. He put others first. And that's the type of person that the church needs this morning. The church needs people who do the same, that they show up to serve. They show up, that, you know, not to be served, you know, not to say, you know, years ago, John F. Kennedy, you know, famously said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That's the same type of people we need in the church. Not, well, what can the church do for me? But what can I do for the church because of what Christ has done for me? The story was once told of a young boy. He once put on his father's big work boots and he was waddling throughout the house. And his mom asked him, she said, what on earth are you doing? And he said, I'm walking like daddy. Imagine this morning if every Christian in the church said, I want to walk like Jesus. I want to walk like my Savior. I want to walk like God. Imagine the difference that it would be if we had those folks who just said, I am going to be a reflection. I'm going to be a mirror of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. 1 Peter 2:21, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. John 13:34, love one another as I have loved you. The church this morning needs people who imitate Christ, who imitate the Lord. But not only that, number 2 this morning, we need people who live clean lives. We need people who live clean lives. Notice there, if you would, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And so now Paul, he begins to move from what we should pursue, what we should be going after, to that which we should avoid. And God calls his people to purity, both in action and in speech. Several things are mentioned here in these two verses. Fornication, that's talking about sexual sin. Uncleanliness, that's talking about impurity. Covetousness, that's talking about greed. It talks about jesting there, the crude or careless talk. And the Bible says that these things, Paul says that they should not even be named among Christians. That they should not even be named among believers. In other words, Christians should be so pure in their conduct that such accusations, they don't even come up. That no one can ever say, oh yeah, I once heard so-and-so, they use that cuss word. No, that should never be. Or that I caught him doing so-and-so, or you know, you just fill in the blank. The church needs holy people. People who will determine that, you know what, I'm going to walk clean in a dirty world. I'm going to walk clean. And listen, the world, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to mock you. They're going to ridicule you. Because to the world, everybody's doing it. And so you should be doing it too. But we know when we read Scripture, we know when we read the Bible, we know when we read the Word of God that we should be different from the world. And listen, that doesn't mean that we're better than them or better than anybody else. It just means, no, that we know that we're a blessed people. We know that we're saved. We know that we are Christians and ought to live right. Now you think you could have the cleanest, purest spring water in the world. You know, and I like a nice cup of cold water with, you know, ice, and I, you know, there's nothing better. If I had the choice, you know, between, you know, a soda or a cold drink of water, I'm going to go with the water. But you take that same cold, clear, pure water, and then you go out here and you know where the guys mow, and you pick up some of the mowing shavings, and you pick up some of the dirt and some of the mud, and you put that into that glass of water. Well, who's going to want to drink that water then? Nobody's going to want to drink that water then. The same is true with us as God's people. God's message is pure. God's methods are pure, and He needs clean vessels to carry that message. 2 Timothy 2:21, the Bible says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use." Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." And so we see this morning, we need people who imitate Christ. Secondly, we need people who are pure. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we need people who shine light into the darkness. We need people who shine light into the darkness. Notice there, if you would, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8, 9, and 10. The Bible says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Paul says here, because we are saved, we were not just in darkness, but we were darkness. But now that we've been saved, now that we've been born again, now we are light in the Lord. And the church needs people who don't hide their faith, but they shine it. Who don't compromise to fit in, but they stand out for truth, righteousness, and goodness. Lighthouses don't argue with the storm. They don't curse the darkness. No, all they do is they simply shine. And listen, no matter how dark the world gets, and make no mistake about it, the world is getting darker on a day-by-day basis. But no matter how dark the world gets, a little light makes a big difference. And that's what the church needs. People who shine where God has placed them. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, the Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine." Philippians 2:15, "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world." I'm going to have young Joe and Kenny come, and I'm going to hand this out to everybody because it goes with the message this morning. And once you have it, you can read it along there with me. But I want you to take this and stick it in your Bible somewhere, or stick it somewhere where you'll remember it, where you'll see it. And let it be, as a church member, a church attender, let it be your pledge that you'll seek to be this type of church member. This is my church. It is composed of people just like me. It will be friendly if I am. It will do a great work if I work. It will be soul conscious if I am. It will give generously to others if I am generous. It will bring others into fellowship if I bring them. The seats will be filled if I am. if I fill them. It will be a church of loyalty and love, of faith and service, if I, who make it what it is, am filled with these. Therefore, with God's help, I dedicate myself to the task of being all these things I want my church to be. You know, so often we say, I want my church to be friendly. Well, are you friendly? I want my church to do a great work. Well, are you helping to do that great work? I want to see souls saved. Well, are you worried about people that walk into the church and walk up and down the streets every single day? You want to see the church do great things and have different programs and all the rest. Well, do you give generously? You say, I want to see others here. Do you bring others in? You say, I want to see the seats filled. Are you helping fill them? I guarantee you this morning that if you will seek to be these things, then it will be the church that you want it to be. But more importantly than that, it will be the church that God wants it to be. So what kind of people does a church need? Simple. People who imitate Christ in love and in service. People who live clean, holy, separated lives. And people who shine light in a world that's filled with darkness. We don't need more programs. We don't need more productions. We need people who are right with God and serious about living for Him. God doesn't need superstars. He doesn't need celebrities. He doesn't need self-promoters. He doesn't need those who are in it for themselves in His church. He needs Christ-like imitators, clean vessels, and brilliant, bright, shining lights. The question is this morning, are you following the blueprint? Are you the blueprint? Are you that kind of person that God can use? If not, you can be that person starting today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together at our feet.